Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item. Plus, free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dungeon.
Welcome to Dungeon Court.
We are your Supreme Crit Justices, Murphy, Axford, and Tanner, joined, of course, by the lowly, 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 lowly.
Oh, the ball. It's dropping. Here it comes. Oh, we're lowering the bailiff from the ceiling.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Bailiff Jake.
I'm really picturing Jake descending in a, like, aerial acrobatic swing now.
And everyone wildly booing.
He is dressed as a baby because of the new year.
Of course.
Yeah. So cute. Naturally. Oh, yeah, because Jake gets reborn every single year.
Yeah.
He starts the year off as a baby.
That's right. The oldest I ever get is one.
Yeah. So leave him alone. He's a baby.
He's
okay?
A baby.
He's a literal baby.
God. Jake has Phoenix disease.
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
Not even toddler.
First things first, we got some live shows to plug. Last live shows for a while.
Yes.
So be sure to get your tickets. January 18th, we're going to be in Washington, D.C. for Dungeon Court Live.
Wow.
What? That's this
very show.
And then we're going to be doing an actual play on January 19th in Boston, Massachusetts, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Not Boston. Can you believe it? Is there another Boston? It feels like there should
probably
be.
Probably got to be.
There's
got to
be. Yeah. There's Paris's everywhere.
There's got to be a Boston in Canada.
I think so.
Boston, Canada. And we'll do a show there, but not this year.
Shout out if you're from Boston, Canada. Let us know.
That just sounds like a Canadian.
Oh, yeah. Wait, guys, I'm checking the schedule again. We're going to Bogstown, Minnesota.
We can do that too.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. Sweet. And with that, let's throw to Bailiff Jake.
Hear ye, Crit is now in session. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford, Murphy, and Tanner are presiding.
Mm-hmm.
Our first case comes from Andrew P. May it please the court. This is the case of the Bastard Sword backstory.
Okay.
Ooh, okay. Wait, Jake, do we want to clarify what a bastard sword is for everybody?
I honestly didn't even know it was a thing. I just thought that was like something Andrew came up with.
I don't know.
Oh, isn't it just a freaking badass two-hander?
Yeah, it's like a Zweihander, but like not totally a Zweihander. Okay. Or if you got a computer in front of you,
let's
look up what a bastard sword is.
The term bastard sword, as it goes for arms and armor, there's a delicate dance between offense and defense.
Okay.
And when one is improved, the other must answer. If you wanted to survive this new breed of warrior, new measures needed to be created quickly. The answer was the bastard sword, also referred to as the hand and a half sword. So I'm guessing it's not like huge, but it's like a two-hander.
That's awesome. It's like a two-hander. If you're jacked, you can use with one.
If you're a barbarian IRL, it could not be classified as a single-hand sword, and it was not a two-handed great sword. Okay, so it's like kind of in the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
It's kind of born out of an unholy wedlock.
So really you get sorted into, do you hold the bastard sword with two hands or one hand?
Right. You get sworded.
You get sworded.
Whoa.
Okay.
It's a big sword, folks.
Yeah, that's a great now way to ask anyone how strong they are.
Yeah.
Say, like, what do you, how you wielding a bastard
sword? How many hands on a bastard sword for you?
How many hands are you using?
Okay, I want to hear the story now that I have a really vivid idea of what it means.
All right. Andrew writes, hey, judges. Jake, oh my God, hi. Is that a new shirt? Looks great anyway.
Wow.
He was born with it.
I bring before the court the case of the Bastard Sword backstory. My friends and I started a Pathfinder 2E campaign, but our GM has been a little strict about lore accuracy. Before our first session, myself and the other players were discussing our characters. I'm playing a Magus Gripply, frog people, from the Mwangi jungle. Great. I was sharing the backstory of how I found my sword. I said that my little frogman found it while going fishing in the swamp and coming across an ancient battlefield. The sword was among the wreckage, so he kept it.
Fuck yeah.
It was a small, inconsequential headcanon for my weapon that would probably never have been brought up in the campaign. My GM, however, said that no battles would have ever taken place in the area I originate from, so this backstory wouldn't make sense.
Okay.
It's interesting. Really interesting.
We began arguing about this and almost got into a bit of a shouting match. He said he wasn't going to just change the lore to accommodate this backstory. Ultimately, for the sake of peace, I acquiesced and settled on saying that my character found it at a store and bought it. Was I asking too much? Or was my GM being too strict?
That is.
I laid myself and my little frogman sword at the court's feet, and I wait your judgment.
That passive aggression, because that is what these DMs want, right? Mm-hmm. Is just you come up with a creative thing and they're like, no, you're not allowed to do that. And you just say, fine, I bought it at a store.
Sorry, the book I'm planning on reading my players doesn't involve that.
Yeah.
Your sword came from Costco. Sorry.
Yeah. Fine, I went to fucking Swords R Us and I got it there. Are you happy?
Are you happy? God damn it. Yeah, that's great. No, I think you have a right to be pissed, because it's also like, I don't know, if you're that into your own lore, I kind of don't trust you. Mm-hmm. But if you are, but you do want to work with your players, there are ways to do that, right? You can say like, oh, there wasn't a battle there. That wouldn't have made sense. But this legendary warrior maybe went to visit there and got jumped and like attacked and died there. Like, there's a million ways to make this work, even if you need your lore for some reason to be like, they will never have a fight in your inconsequential
homeland. I feel like if anyone said to me, and maybe there was like a battle in history in this place and anywhere that I was designing, I would be like, fun idea.
Right.
Exactly.
Let's roll with that.
Is there any area anywhere that hasn't at some point had a battle?
Exactly.
Right.
Like, what the fuck? Is this world brand new? There's there's some kind of history. Because
even like deep within the ocean, you know that like animals are getting so fucking nuts in
there. Okay, Emily gave the only example.
No, there are battles.
No, that's not even true, because there's a ship battle. Ship battles.
There's definitely ship battles, but it's not
ship battles.
But also,
right, now I have to argue.
You're talking about human. You're talking about human battles. I'm talking about battles between beasts of the sea.
I don't think there's been battles between fish.
Yes.
That have swords on every inch.
No, they
of the
don't
ocean.
Have swords, but they battle each other.
Yeah, octopi can use tools, dude.
Octopi can use tools.
We're talking about
there has the outer been a sword battle in the depths of the sea with sword wielding.
Some coral is sharp. Some coral is really sharp.
Try to find me a trench where a lantern fish hasn't wielded a crossbow at any point.
I can find it very quickly.
Dude, there's an octopus out there that has wielded Guts' sword from Berserk.
Have you never you've never seen a sunfish with a shield?
Yeah.
Really?
Their body is
really
kind of a shield.
Oh no, they're doing it again. They're doing it again.
Because they're called hammerhead sharks because they wielded war hammers originally, way back then.
Okay.
Emily, unplug Murph's internet.
Yeah. I can't look this up, so I guess you guys are right.
I'll just spill my tea on his keyboard.
Dang, sorry. You just have to trust us.
Yeah, no. What's
fucking crazy is like the precedent is here. This is like exactly what happened to fucking Isildur when he had the ring. He got jumped and all of a sudden the ring fell into a pond and Smeagol found it.
Yeah, this is like the oldest by the books fantasy story. Mm-hmm. Like it's super easy. This is the one ring.
The kernel of it is I found a sword in the swamp. And if you're like, I did it because there was a battle, the GM should be able to be like, okay, you didn't because of that, but you found a sword in the swamp. Instead, they're just like, no, shutting it down.
The intent behind I found a sword from an old battle is like, hey, I want to have like a surprisingly historic sword.
Right.
You know? So like, if you want to honor the person's suggestion, you could at least be like, okay, what if you want like kind of like a mysterious historic sword, but instead I bought it from a store.
Yeah. like typically
it came in a two for one deal.
Yeah,
you should yes and this stuff. But you can also no but it. Like the, maybe not as known amongst people that like haven't done any kind of improv or whatever. But if you're not going to do yes and, if you're going to say no, you have to say no but. You have to add something new.
No, so you can, I didn't know that this is a rule.
You're like the improv person.
Yeah, I don't think anyone ever talked about that. No ifs, yes, ands,
nor buts.
Well, I may, then maybe it's not an improv thing.
I think
maybe
you made it up. I think you made it up.
Absolutely.
I think you created it.
No but is real.
I've heard it before, but now that I think about it, I only heard it from
God Murph. Damn it. Yeah. It's not me.
You maybe know,
it's
Murph, you are a creator. Murph.
Maybe it's writing advice from somebody. Maybe it's not
this
improv.
This is the new Murphy's Law.
This is not my law.
Changing
this
it up.
This is absolutely not my law. This is not my advice. This is me channeling someone else's advice.
And what was the other thing you said? That God dolphins have weapons.
If you are going to say no, you should give another suggestion. Unless you're being hilarious like me and you want to say no and then have an enemy attacks them or something. then it's fine.
Yeah. I do just want to add pistol shrimps. They can shoot like compressed pockets.
Oh, yeah.
Of air.
That's perfect. What you call them. Yeah. Yeah. And seahorses are called seahorses because they're cavalry.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
This all checks out.
Yeah.
Yep, of course. But yes, the DM, if they weren't going to agree with you, should have said no, but there was a legendary warrior that was passing through your hometown and they died there. That's where you got the bastard sword.
It's such a deflation to go to your DM and say, I just want my weapon to be cool. And for them to say no.
But also, saying no and then no suggestion is crazy.
Yeah.
Like we've talked about this before, but in campaign 3, Caldwell was talking about wanting to change Saul a little bit and was like, should I take a level of druid or whatever?
Yeah.
And I didn't say no, but I was like, what do you want Saul to be able to do, because I bet you we can find a better way to find what Saul should be able to do than to have him be a level 1 druid and a level 9
and then Caldwell blew up at you and said, fine, he'll go to a fucking store and get an appetite. Is that what you want?
And that's why we went to Swords R Us in episode 30.
Okay, but in all fairness, if you had us go to Swords R Us, that would be a very funny scene.
I would love to go to Swords R Us.
No, but that's how we came up with the idea of Saul doing the way of the
way
long
death,
changing his subclass. Because ultimately, what he wanted to do is he wanted to be able to stay up.
I would say
more.
It was a sexy collaboration.
A sexy collab.
So sexy.
That's
melding
what you
want to
do.
Minds.
Everything should be a sexy collab.
It was scintillating.
Murfnar's brains just kind of like fondled each other.
Avatar style.
It
was true. It was a Navi mind meld. Well put.
I see you guys.
Okay, so we're rolling against this DM.
Yes, for sure.
I mean, maybe they need to pick up some part-time shifts at Swords R Us.
Yes.
But they don't get to handle the swords.
You can be a greeter at Swords R Us.
A greeter at Swords R Us.
You get to say, hey, oh, you got to check the receipts as everybody leaves with their swords.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of so invasive.
You feel so guilty.
Yeah, you have to be just like, sorry, I just got to check that you have a receipt for all of these swords.
Are you trained in that? Are you expert in that? I got to make sure. Yeah, we got to check the little bubble on your player sheet.
If this is a 1.5 hander, you got to tell me.
Yeah. So you basically just have to question everyone with a brand new sharp weapon leaving your store.
Wow.
Yeah. People with shopping carts full of swords.
Okay. Sick.
Great.
So sword.
We're back, baby. 2020 sword.
2020 sword. 2020 sword. Year of the blade.
I like that.
Okay. The next case comes from Tobias B. Tobias writes, "Dear the most wise judges and that guy James, I bring you the case."
He's a baby.
Come on, give him a break.
Goodness.
Sweet baby James, I'll be referred to as. Thank you.
Baby James. He just hatched from his own ash.
I bring you the case of the invisible T-Rex. I write in as one of the players who does not care about the result of this case, but does care that the bickering about it cease.
Okay.
Oh, shit. My sympathies to you.
Impartial and peeved.
Yeah.
You seek only peace.
Our party has a similar setup to the initial band of boobs. One DM, two players that are keen D&D players, and a guy also named James, weirdly.
Strange.
Also named James, weirdly.
I'm on it now.
who was along for the ride and picked up the rules as we went along. We were attacking a bandit camp in the forest, and I, a bard, cast invisibility on our party. As we approached stealthily, I made a noise and one of the bandits came to investigate. To prepare for battle, our wizard cast polymorph on our barbarian, James, turning him into a T-Rex. Fun. When James grew into a T-Rex, he caused damage to the treehouse and injured some of the bandits. The DM ruled that this broke the invisibility. Much fun was had with the T-Rex causing a lot of havoc, but our wizard and the DM disagree to this day, about a year later, on the ruling. The wizard thinks the invisibility should have stood, as the wording of the spell says it ends when invisible character attacks or casts a spell.
Oh, I see.
Does becoming a T-Rex and damaging a treehouse and the bandits within constitute an attack? Please help us, almighty justices.
Oh, man.
Let's straight up read invisibility right now.
I have it pulled up right here if you want to read
it. To understand if intent matters. Let's see.
A creature you touch becomes invisible until the spell ends. Anything the target is wearing or carrying, maybe the T-Rex's teeth, I guess, is invisible as long as it is on the target's person. The spell ends for a target that attacks or casts a spell. I mean, like, if you're
doesn't
going...
Doesn't say causes damage.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be like saying, like, oh, if you step on a bug when you're invisible, you all of a sudden are not invisible.
Yeah.
If you think of scale.
No, I mean, I think it's...
No, but you mean...
I'm going to say no. I mean, I guess it's not... Well, it's not like stepping on a bug, right? Because a T-Rex, like, wrecking your shit in a treehouse is going to be a little bit more obvious.
I do think, though, it feels like such a simple thing to just give them one attack.
Yeah, invisible. Okay, so the T-Rex shows up and smashes through. Yeah,
No. It's, I think in the process, correct me if I'm wrong, Jake, in the process of turning into a T-Rex, they broke the treehouse, which then caused, so it was almost collateral damage.
Yeah, got it.
So would collateral damage count as an attack and therefore...
I mean, I think it kind of doesn't matter because if I'm a DM in this situation, I feel like I'm going to negate the advantage they get on rolls because you're just going to know where an invisible T-Rex is in a forest. You're just going to have a really good idea of where that T-Rex is.
Haven't you seen Predator? They never knew where that guy was.
Whoa, Predator is that's a really good call.
Predator is smaller than a T-Rex, but he's pretty big.
And well, the Predator is also like trained. He's got like advanced cloaking techniques and like years of hunting skill under his belt.
Well, the T-Rex has that in their DNA.
According to rules as written, I think the wizard could make the argument that everybody should stay invisible or whatever. However, the DM already threw you a bone. Like, there's nothing in the polymorph spell that says if you turn into a really big creature, it's going to destroy the building that you're in and do X amount of damage. Like, the DM narrated that and made it cool and gave you an advantage that otherwise might not have been allowed. In fact, there might even be rules with polymorph about like how big of a thing you can turn into depending on the space that you're in.
I have a question. If because invisibility, you can upcast to make other people invisible.
Yeah.
But everyone stays invisible as long as concentration is held until they individually attack, correct?
The spell ends for a target that attacks or casts a spell. So the if a target attacks... So
I'm wondering if there was saltiness because everyone lost their invisibility.
Yeah, rather than I guess just if you're a wizard that's a high enough level that you're able to cast a polymorph that's high enough level that you can make somebody a T-Rex, that whatever little damage was done by a treehouse falling was not enough to justify losing, you know, a fifth level spell or whatever invisibilities.
Yeah, so I think this is one we don't know. If they took invisibility away from all of you, that wouldn't be fair. If they just took it away from the T-Rex, maybe it's not the biggest fight.
This is kind of a tough one because the idea that this would be bickered about for a really long time, this feels like it's not a big deal and I could kind of go either way on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes me think something else is going on.
Wow. That's where I'm kind of like, I think as the DM, I probably would have just went a little bit more rules as written and probably would have allowed them to stay invisible. Mm-hmm. Maybe I would have made the rule that like this T-Rex is huge, bursts through, you know, the walls and the ceiling and everything. The T-Rex becomes visible because that's an attack that I have created by including the terrain in it. So I'm giving you a thing, you give me a thing, this creature comes out of invisibility. But just breaking the invisibility on everyone.
I have another clarification. It wasn't that they lost the invisibility because the bard who cast invisibility lost concentration, correct?
That is right.
Okay.
I feel like this is a situation where, like, regardless of the DM's outcome, I'm going to be like, yeah, that's fair. Like, we're in the middle of a crazy battle. Yeah. Like, you can, like, you're already off the rails when you are having to casually calculate the damage that's going to happen from everybody falling out of a treehouse that's been exploded by a T-Rex. So I feel like you got to just give your DM some credit and some leniency.
Okay, so we've got it mixed up a couple times. It's the bard that casts invisibility.
Right, and he casts it on everybody.
And casts it on everybody. Mm-hmm. I actually do think if the wording is that the invisibility broke on everyone, then I think that's kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
And I'm going to rule with the players, even though I think it's kind of crazy to keep bringing this up because it's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
But if it just broke on the T-Rex, I think that's just kind of a rule of cool. You had, you know, the T-Rex showed up, blew up the fucking treehouse. The DM made that an attack. That did not have to happen. There's nothing in the, there ain't nothing in the rule book says polymorph has to wreck the room that it's in.
Whoa.
Here's an interesting point, though. This person writes in, they said, as a player who doesn't care about the result of this, and it was their invisibility.
Oh!
It's their invisibility.
It's their spell.
Who the heck was mad about this?
See, you know what?
I think...
Maybe we need a follow-up. Maybe we need a follow-up. I think we need to go more into this because I get, this does matter to me if invisibility broke on everybody, and it also matters to me how whiny the player is being.
This is our first mistrial. We need more information. If you're the person that wrote this case, you know where your comment is. Mm-hmm. Write a follow-up and we'll rule again.
Yeah, we're declaring a mistrial on this one.
I would also love to know if, like, there is some sort of drama going on, like if all the other players, like, went in on a Swords R Us franchise and it's, like, failing and, like, that's bringing some tension to the table.
Right. So I usually do say to keep the cases brief, but for you, there's an exception. Write as long of an explanation as you can. I need all of the information and I'll bring it back to the court.
And actually, if you could just text it all to Jake so that he gets like one huge, massive text. Yeah.
That's perfect. Mm-hmm. Okay, sweet. So mistrialed. And our next case comes from Tay Julia. Tay Julia writes, to the honorable justices and slightly less honorable bailiff, I pose more of a legal dice quandary rather than a case and seek your humble opinion on the matter.
The realm of quandary, we have entered a dice conundrum.
A few months ago, a new girl joined our campaign and she is a great player and wants to DM, and our current DM has been letting her shadow him and DM at times to help her learn.
Cool.
She keeps introducing homebrew rules for us to try, most of which are fine. And if we don't like them, she lets it be and we won't do it again.
Perfect, we're done. Yeah. We got it.
Love it.
Right. All right, everybody. Yes.
Sounds great. Love her. God bless.
Congrats.
Yes. That was a perfect game.
This is healthy D&D, everyone. Listen to this. Do exactly whatever this DM is doing. This is correct, okay?
It's
I stand
perfect.
By everything. You listen to the next 10 minutes of this episode, I stand by it.
Should we listen to the rest just to make sure there's nothing else going on?
All right. Okay. Yeah. Why not? Yeah. Just to be clear, we all stand by it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it looks like, let me just turn the page. There's just a bit more.
Okay,
but okay, that's
fine. She is insisting on this rule for crits that the rest of us are hesitant to agree to, and here is where your thoughts on this issue would be useful. She wants all critical hits in fights, both PC and DM, to be double dice rolls plus max damage. For example, if your sword deals 2d6 slashing damage, you'd have the 12 slashing damage max plus what you rolled. While this is exciting for certain players like our level 18 paladin and barbarian, my simple arcane archer never deals insane amounts of damage, even with a crit, and so it's not as helpful for me. Furthermore, our DM crits a lot, and we worry for potential TPKs if he gets a few good rolls in. Honorable Justices, is this potential homebrew rule strange and potentially deadly, or just a fun way to highlight a critical hit? I await your opinion.
It's dangerous because the second someone dies from your homebrew that not everyone is totally on board with, that's going to feel
You roll double damage and you add
max damage.
So if you did normally 2d6 of damage, you would add 12 to 4d6?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's correct.
That is placing... I think this is a case of... I don't know. This is not the craziest idea
The craziest idea until you say, but like the DM crits a lot, in which case I just think there's going to be a death because of this homebrew rule.
It's such a big jump in damage that it also, it takes away the excitement of a crit because it's kind of like, I don't know, it feels like cheating. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like it just, there's too much of a jump here from a crit to a regular hit. You know what I mean? Where it feels like it's like, okay, well, normally I do 10 damage. I'm going to do 40 damage.
Yeah.
That feels unearned.
It's a pretty high percentage chance of just doing 40 damage every once in a while. And we're having it be done to you if your DM throws a lot of guys at you sometimes.
You can't unravel the sweater if you don't have a plan to put on new sleeves. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, it's...
Put that on a cross.
I would say, like, the game is pretty balanced. Like, there's been a lot of playtesting to make sure that, like, it's never going to be too much damage or stuff like that. So you have to, like, add something else in. You've got to, like, do temporary AC boost or, like, some sort of, like, extra dice roll. The mechanic seems unfinished.
It throws off everything because it changes challenge ratings. Like, a bandit... Yeah. Could crit on a level one, and I think they already probably could kill you, but now they'll definitely kill you.
It definitely sounds fun, so I see that this person, like, I think that their heart is in the right place, but I imagine myself, like, I already feel bad when I crit on my players.
It's too spicy. It's too spicy, which is like, you see the hot chicken sandwich, and you're like, oh, that's fun, that's zesty, that's cool, let's try that. But then you realize it's ghost peppers, and it's like, that's too much, and no one's having fun, and everyone's sweating, and we all need to drink milk. You know?
Interesting.
Like, I think you can't anticipate the heat that this brings.
Yeah.
Because crits happen more often than you think.
But you know what? To no but this, I do think that this could work as like an ability attached to a magic weapon or something like that. That like maybe has charges or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
if it was limited, that's fine, I think. But this is also fixing something that doesn't need to be fixed.
Yeah.
Like there's never been a time where anyone's rolled a nat 20 except for you maniacs with initiative that you guys don't care that you go first, which is crazy.
I think we should get to go first and do a little dance. And if the dance does really well, the performance check on the dance,
that's potentially getting an extra turn over the enemy, not a not a big deal, I guess. But
It sucks.
Yeah.
Sucks ass.
But no one ever rolls a nat 20 and is like, oh, I wish it did more.
So for Calliope, because I roll a lot of D8s, I have had crits that are underwhelming if you roll a bunch of ones, but I also don't mind that. It's like it's still gambling, baby.
Yeah,
I think that you're right that if you just were like, it's automatically gonna be the shit.
I think a big piece of what makes Nat 20s fun is getting to hold all those chunky dice getting to throw them. Is most of the fun, more so than just being like, we're just definitely going to make all of your crits really good.
Yeah.
I think the fun of it is rolling, you know, 8d6. It's not being like,
which they still have in there. I think that the only flaw in this story is that it seems like the table is kind of lukewarm and someone's gonna die from this this rule. And when you have a homebrew rule that people are lukewarm on, there's some danger in there. But if everyone at the table or most of the people at the table were really feeling it, then I would be like, go with God. This sounds great. Have fun.
It is true. Like, you could even flavor that within world. It's like some sort of divine burst, like a smite, an extra smite happens or something like that. I don't know. But also, it seems like this DM is green and open to notes.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think this is a real problem.
Well, they said this is the one thing she's insisting on.
Yeah, true. So I think that's a no-go. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, we said we were going to stand by this stuff no matter what. So I think we're going to have to all briefly be disbarred and then come back. Okay. So.
Okay.
So I'm going to disbar Caldwell and Emily.
Okay, bye.
Okay,
and then I'm
going to
bring you guys back.
It's been good. Thank you.
I'm going to disbar myself.
Then they disbar. Okay.
Somebody bring me back.
Okay.
Back, please.
That was good the way you staggered the disbarring.
Yeah, because otherwise Jake would have tried to like climb up on the bench.
Okay, well, Caldwell
and
Emily,
There's an empty seat.
Caldwell and Emily, I could rise to the
bench. No one would ever decide anything, though.
I feel like you've been up in that acrobatic swing for a while. Do you want to take a load off?
Yeah. I'm just a little baby. Can I give it a go?
Oh, so cute.
Wouldn't that be cute? Judge Baby?
A little baby wearing a white wig.
It was fucking funny for a second.
Invite me
back.
Are you a vampire judge? You have to be invited to the bench. All right, I invite thee.
I'm back.
Great. Now we're going to have to get ancestral dirt from Earth.
Fuck.
So it's going to make the house so dirty.
Yeah, I'm back in your guys' home. All right, so we have to punish this DM, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay, this DM.
I mean, the punishment's going to come the first time they accidentally kill someone with this homebrew rule. So I feel like
they might be trying to.
Maybe they are. And again, if the table wants that, then that's great. But if the table doesn't want that, maybe reconsider.
They could be a greeter for Swords R Us because we have somebody checking the receipts on the way out.
Right, they definitely shouldn't be handling the swords because they sound a bit bloodthirsty.
Maybe, you know
which
what?
Which I respect.
You know what? They are bloodthirsty. So I think what we should do is they should constantly have to tell everyone and just open with, by the way, I hold a bastard sword with two hands.
Right.
By the way. By the way.
Oh, like when you're at Trader Joe's and they give you like a little information. They're like, oh, that's actually my favorite too. I love those chocolate covered almonds. Like they have to provide that little fun fact.
Right. They have to be like, I use bastard sword with two hands.
Yeah. Or if you're like checking out at J. Crew and they're like, oh, do you have an email address for the receipt? You have to be like, I use a bastard sword with two hands.
So it's less about, I do think bastard swords probably were used in two hands, but it's more the social faux pas of having to bring that up at like Macy's.
Yeah.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me, and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame, named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up. They are the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here with a very important question. Do you like spending money? I sure do. Every time I give away my money, chances are good I'm going to get something I want in return. It's a pretty sweet deal. But sometimes I find myself paying for things I'm not even using. And when that happens, I end up having less money in my bank to spend on things I do want. Ridiculous, right? Luckily, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That's it for me. Thanks for listening and happy savings.
Okay, great. So swordered. And actually, I'm going to hit you guys with a case that's pretty grounded and crunchy. So let's
okay.
Okay.
All right. We've already had a mistrial, so why not?
Okay. Yeah. This one's pretty serious.
Okay. Is it about farts or something? Is there like a ghost made out of farts or something?
Smurf, that's good. Okay. Do you have a case to bring to us?
I think that literally is a Ren and Stimpy episode.
I think it is too. Yeah. Stimpy has a fart that follows him around. Yeah. It's so cute.
It's pretty fun.
But no, this one's pretty somber. So let's get to
it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
This is from Jesse D. That. It's the case of Fat Bastard versus Party of Normally Named Players.
Wow.
Okay. Woo!
Okay, so here we go. Austin Powers 2.
To your supreme simps and beta bailiff, I present a case to blow minds. This last summer, I started a campaign with my brother, his girlfriend, our cousin, and a quote, friend of ours, who were all new players.
Were all these players secretly Mike Myers?
Everyone made up a name, lineage, and identity, except for our friend who wanted to be Fat Bastard from Austin Powers. Okay. He decided to be a half-orc barbarian who wanted to eat. I was running Storm King's Thunder with some changes inspired by NADPOD. So when the party went on their first quest to save a group of children kidnapped from their starting town by goblins, the party was quick to go, except for Fat Bastard, who anticipated telling the children to, quote, get in my belly. In the encounter, I described how the leading goblin, Dak, had a sword that glowed in the dark.
Surely that line failed at the table. Surely. Surely when they said, get in my belly.
Everyone could be so irony poisoned that maybe not.
But maybe everyone was just like so in awe of this character committing to their character and their character's arc that they were just in stunned silence. Well, this is Fat Bastard. I'm playing with Fat Bastard right now.
I'm going to guess that this Austin Powers cameo was not welcome, judging by the fact that it was written in about.
Let's see how well it went.
So
Dak had a sword that glowed with dark fire and seemed to be berserk. Fat Bastard went at him and grabbed the sword, smiling. The session ended there. I discussed with the player that he had the sword of the berserker and would go nuts if he failed his save. Okay. He was down for the consequences until the next session. He went in on all-out rage and attempted to eat the kids and attack the party. Instead of my goblins, Fat Bastard became the final battle and was slain in a close fight with the others.
It's to this kind day, of fun, I have to be honest. Yeah. This twist I'm really, really here for.
to this day, he blamed the party for killing him when he knowingly took the cursed weapon and intentionally tried to eat the kids for an Austin Powers bit. Little does he know that I knew he would take the sword, and I planned his death accordingly as soon as he decided to be the metric ton Scottish assassin. Good on bastard.
You. Good on you, sir.
Who's at fault? Me for trying to kill my gimmick player hands off, or my players for executing him, or Fat Bastard?
I think, honestly, I really like what you did.
Yeah.
Will you look up Sword of the Berserker?
Sure.
Will you look up Fat Bastard just so you're like some fun?
I think we've all seen Austin Powers too.
I haven't.
Yeah, and we all love it.
Okay, so Berserker, I'm guessing this is based on the Berserker axe, a curse. This axe is cursed, and becoming attuned to it extends the curse to you.
Okay.
As long as you remain cursed, you are unwilling to part with the axe, keeping it within reach at all times. You have disadvantage on attack rolls with weapons other than this one, unless no foes within 60 feet of you that you can see or hear.
Okay.
Whenever a hostile creature damages you, you must succeed on a DC 15 wisdom saving throw or go berserk. While berserk, you must use your action each round to attack the creature nearest to you with the axe. If you can make extra attacks as part of the attack action, you use those extra attacks. So yeah, so you go berserk. You start attacking. Yeah. Wow. So this is pretty buttoned up. Mm-hmm.
I wonder, I guess Fat Bastard didn't have really high wisdom to make those saves.
That probably not. Yeah.
Huh.
I'm surprised they didn't mid-max their wisdom.
Yeah.
I mean, there's part of me that's like, I'm glad that you killed this player. There's part of me, but there's also part of me that maybe you could have nipped this in the bud. You know?
Like, not even entertained Fat Bastard coming into the campaign.
If someone came to my table and was just like, I would like to be Scott from Austin Powers, I would say absolutely.
How about no?
Not. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good.
I think
right. That's good, Caldwell. Very funny.
See, I think you missed
that. I think that's is that also Zippin's Austin Powers too?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
This is great. You know what? We've done but I think how about no but is really what you want to hit.
Great.
Right. We should rewatch Austin Powers. I wonder if it's good.
I think this person did do that though, because they were playing a half-orc barbarian. So this person tried to work with it.
Half-orc barbarian is fucking Shrek though. They're mixing their streams here
It doesn't, you don't have to be Shrek if you're a half-orc barbarian. Everyone can just play the goddamn game. You don't have to be Shrek. You don't have to be from Austin Powers 2. You can just be.
Right. You can be from Austin Powers 1.
That's right.
Yeah. Which is what all of our characters are.
Yeah, you could be
Moonshine is Beyonce and Austin Powers 1.
I recuse myself.
Are you descending? Are you abdicating? I
can
descend.
Can you leave? Oh, we got all this ancestral dirt for you.
You can bring on Jake.
Okay. We've actually got someone that can replace you. I want my baby back, baby back, baby back. Oh, here he comes. It's Fat Bastard himself.
I think, honestly, I just kind of think this, what you pulled off sounds kind of fun.
Yeah.
I would have had fun at the table.
turning on this guy.
Yeah, all of the players killed him. Like, you made him attack them, but you didn't make them kill him. Like, this was Fat Bastard, design of Fat Bastard's own making.
I guess. Also, I guess I'm glad he's gone, but he never should have been there. What do you want me to do?
Was there a point where they were like, where it was like, okay, Fat Bastard's down. You could take his sword away,
right,
and, you know, try to save him, or like, and then the players were like, no, we'd like to finish the job.
Yeah.
I'm curious about that.
Okay. Yeah. You know, maybe this is a case where we need a lot more information as well.
I recuse myself, but everyone else make your decision and let's move on.
It's okay. We've got Justice Bastard up here and he's going to weigh in.
Great.
I do think, yeah, like, so the build for him would probably be like high con, obviously, high strength, high dexterity as well, probably because he's a really good bagpipe player.
Right, because he's an assassin after all.
Yeah,
and well, I guess, all right, let's rule against the player, and the punishment is to get in my belly, right?
Okay, great, I love it.
Perfect.
Rule against the player, get in my belly.
Get in my belly, that's the punishment. So sworded. I will give Murph his sweet relief and we'll move on. This case comes from...
Hey, just one second. Fat Bastard Sword. Is that anything? Fat Bastard Sword?
Nope.
Okay, it's like a bagpipe that's also a blade. I think we're onto something here.
Whoa, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
You like can't get a good grip on it?
I need a month off.
Oh my God. We finally got Murph to take a vacation.
You know what? Baby Bailiff, get on up here.
Goo-goo? A gaggle of geckos writes, hello, honorable, wonderful justices, and some guy who reads these things out loud semi-successfully. Jansen, maybe.
Just wow, have they heard the unedited versions?
Yeah, fuck that shit, dude. Trevor, make me sound like I'm good at reading. Thank you. This is the case of the idiot soul swap. I run a campaign for two new players and one experienced player. I was running an encounter in a frozen rainforest where the players come upon a statue garden, where upon investigation, the statues have an opportunity to possess the player.
Oh, that's fun. I like this.
Yeah, frozen rainforest.
That's love it.
I mean, you kind of stole that from DK Tropical Freeze, but go ahead.
Go in on them, Caldwell.
Murph, back me up on this.
I need a month off.
You can't tell any story that Austin Powers or Donkey Kong didn't already tell.
That is true.
These are the hero's journey. So. There's Donkey Kong. And there's Austin Powers.
Right.
Shagadelic. This was all fairly straightforward until the barbarian, one of the newer players, failed all of his checks, DC 10 strength, against a literal mental wall, consistently for 15 rounds of combat, where he became so frustrated that he ceased to try anything with his rolls, yelling, aww, what the fuck do I do? Even when I tried to give hints to him how to defeat the encounter and gave him inspiration, I had to fully pause the game and tell him how to beat the encounter and explain that he had been doing everything right. He had just been consistently rolling like dog shit.
Aww.
Was I right to fully break kayfabe for the entire table, or should I have let him try and the party succumb to his possessed body's raging antics?
I think you did the right thing.
Yeah.
This was clearly someone who's probably really embarrassed. They were feeling like, I'm an idiot. There's a puzzle. Everyone else gets it except for me.
I love using talking in character, calling that kayfabe, bringing some wrestling lingo into this. That adds up. Instead of metagaming, you're either in kayfabe or you're out of kayfabe.
Yeah, that's better than metagaming, it's for
way
sure.
Way better than metagaming.
Yeah, because kayfabe you're allowed to dip out of. It's okay.
Yeah.
Kayfabe.
I think you did the right thing because, yeah, if your player's sitting there incredibly frustrated, you do have to address that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of like the cardinal rules. Like, if your players aren't having fun, then, like, it's not a good game.
Yeah.
If anything, it sounds like you maybe let them suffer for too long.
Was our final battle in campaign one? Our final battle of campaign one, I think, was probably 8 rounds or something.
I feel for this person. They were probably so embarrassed. They probably really must have been like, there's some obvious solution that I'm going to feel like such an idiot in every single round, that just compounding.
Yeah.
I think you did the right thing to relieve them of this embarrassment.
I think this is sort of a lesson that I've had to learn over time, which is that, like, nobody likes being stunned. It is just not fucking fun. Mm-hmm. And I reserve the right to do it again at some point with some high level character. I might have to just because you guys are too strong, but I try not to do it. Yeah. I try to come up with other like homebrew stuff that will disarm you guys in different ways and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Like, have you not able to do specific abilities or to limit your movement or to do something like that?
And usually when we're stunned, you put us in like some kind of flashback.
Yes.
Yeah. Totally. I was going to say,
just, like, leave us hanging.
Yeah.
If you're going to stun me, show me something cool.
Right. That's totally true. I think that's a good, if you're going to stun somebody or petrify them or something, it's like, have them go through some kind of puzzle in their mind or something. Maybe give them some opportunity to break out of it or something like that. I think that whenever this isn't your fault because rules as written, there are so many enemies that can just sit there and stun their enemies.
Yeah.
But it's not fun to play in. I think it's a cheap mechanic that is against fun.
Yeah, so it's really sick to play alongside.
It's really sick when the players get to do it, and it can suck for a DM if you don't have legendary resistances, and you're only controlling one person. But you generally should have legendary resistances. So it's as the DM, you have ways to get around stun where you're still juggling a bunch. So even if one of your guys is stunned, you still have other stuff to do. Mm-hmm. If a player is stunned, particularly for like 16 rounds of combat or whatever, they just can't do anything.
Were they stunned or were they attacking other people?
It sounds like they were possessed and they were attacking other people and they couldn't get out of like not having
their So it's like equally just like embarrassing.
Yeah, and anything that where you just like have absolutely no control over your character. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess if you're, because we've done this before, right? If like somebody gets charmed, so you make them roll the attacks on other people, and that's fun for a couple rounds. It's not as boring as stun.
Right.
But
it's not great
doing,
for 15 rounds.
Doing that, like just being a pawn of the enemy for like 15 rounds is so there are ways as a DM to spice that up where it's just like you see you like have a flashback to this fight that you had and you see all of the your allies as your enemies in the past, or you know, I don't know, there are fun storytelling.
If I were another player at the table, I would definitely be sacrificing some turns just to give them the help but also it could have been so dire that that didn't actually make sense, so I'm not actually saying that about these.
I don't know, I was gonna bring that up and I don't want to like sow too much drama, but it's kind of like, what were the other players doing for 16 rounds?
Well, I think
it sounds like they were getting their ass kicked.
Yeah,
Ghost, right. There were other statues that were trying to possess too. So maybe they're dealing with that.
I know the way ghost possession works is essentially you can't get rid of it until the person goes down to zero. But that's not how this works, because they were constantly failing their saves.
Yeah,
which is, man, to statistically roll that low is pretty
brutal.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I think that
15 rounds, that's so much.
I don't even know who I would rule against though, because this person kind of wrote in saying, like, was I wrong to break kayfabe? And I would definitely not.
Yeah.
Sometimes. I think if anything, you were wrong to not do it.
Maybe.
You could have done it 11 rounds.
Yeah, again. I think maybe like 10 rounds earlier. Yeah.
Five rounds is a long combat.
Yeah.
And I think that, I think we can take a lesson out of this, which is that you should, when you build combat, be like, if people are failing a bunch of rolls, is this going to be incredibly boring? You know what I mean? Yeah. Is everyone just going to be stunned and restrained and not able to do anything? I have had, and I'm sure people will call me out, I have had encounters where people have been restrained or confused or whatever. Those shits usually last a round or two. I've never like sat there and had people for 8 rounds or 6 rounds or whatever, just not doing literally anything.
Right.
There's a lot of monsters that will be like, they're charmed until the next turn, you know, just for like a turn.
Totally.
Which I'm sure that changes the challenge rating, but I'm always kind of drawn to those because I'm like, oh, that's kind of like
and that's
lower
that's,
stakes.
That's fun because there are, on the flip side, there are monsters that are like, the creature is charmed until the next dawn. And you're like, what?
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a ton
Okay,
of
but actually,
like
I'm going to go back and say that would actually be kind of fun to roleplay.
It'd be fun to roleplay. I don't know that it'd be fun to fight, you know, for that long.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Cool. But, so then who do we even sentence here?
I think that we... Okay. Okay. Well, we had to sentence somebody.
Should we sentence Fat Bastard again?
I think that like Fat Bastard just come in and like eat the DM here, right?
Okay.
Well, that's not punishing the correct person.
Oh, yeah.
Right, that's actually true. Rewarding fat bastards.
Yeah. I think no one's allowed to, why don't we just make a blanket rule? No one's allowed to reference Austin Powers 2 in D&D games.
Yeah, you got to stick it to 1 and 3.
Yeah.
But that's only D&D games. We can talk about it as much as we want on D&D Court, right? Of course. All right. Tight. Yeah, so sorted. All right, the next case comes from Jake, but it's not me. They write, dear incredible.
Okay, James.
Yeah,
okay.
It's not me. It's
Jake.
Not me.
I play a character named Hard One Shorefoot.
I've been stunned for one round.
I fucking hate my DM, and I don't know how to tell him.
Dear incredible justices and bailiff Hard One, that's me. I bring you the case of the potion soup. I was DMing for my group of friends when one of them had a great idea. Take all the potions, healing, poison, invisibility, and the like, and dump them all into the bag of holding and mix them around to make a horrid Frankenstein-esque drink.
Okay.
Sounds fun, right? Well, it was, until one of my players decided to drink from the bag by scooping some mystery liquid and chugging it.
Fun.
I decided to roll a d20 three times to pick randomly what effects they get.
Okay. Ooh,
turns out this player was furious when they got poison and demanded that the healing potion mixture in the slop should counteract the poison.
Oh my god.
Come on.
What?
Come on, friend.
Get
no,
my belly.
A healing potion in general
you just
doesn't
drank a mystery
even
liquid out of a bag.
A healing potion in general doesn't stop poison. Stop the
yeah,
poison condition.
It, no, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like they came to their own resolution here, okay, which is this devolved into a long argument that ended with him saying that I was targeting him since no one else had gotten bad effects. The potion of poison was the only bad potion, and he got up and left my house, ending the session there.
Lock the door.
That is
close the blinds.
Psychotic language to use socially. You're targeting me.
I'm in the wrong. Not letting the healing potion overtake the poison potion. Or did my player get truly lost in the sauce? I wait for your fair and sexy judgment.
Dude, you just hate me as a player. You hate my love guru character that
You're
I came up with.
Targeting me.
Yeah.
Imagine getting so mad storming out, then going into your Kia, turning the key, and your engine doesn't turn over. It's like, I need a fucking jump, asshole. I left my headlights on and my battery died.
My AAA expired.
Call me an Uber because my phone's also dead. Dick,
you live across the street.
Shut up.
These
carry me.
These cases
get
always
in my belly.
Always tickle me when it's a player doing something very goofy and you can tell they're kind of like giggling and then they fucking flip out whenever there's any kind of consequences.
How bad did you need this?
We're just like, you see this cursed book. I go up and I lick it. You are possessed by a demon. What? Fuck you! How dare you! Fuck you, demon!
And then even like
1d4 poison damage.
Yeah.
No, no! You can't poison me! I just wanted to lick
it. I'm not taking it off my character sheet. You can't make me.
And also being poisoned, we've talked about this on the show that like, being poisoned is not that bad. It's like there's poison in D&D is like kind of bad. Like I've several times tried to have bad guys poison you guys. And so it's just like, oh, sorry, I'm this ancestry or, oh, I'm level 5 or, oh, I'm a monk or, oh, whatever.
But you're talking about being poisoned and it not working.
Yeah.
If you're actually poisoned, it's like disadvantage on all checks, disadvantage on attack.
Sure, yeah. They drink the mystery liquid out of a fucking
But it
bag.
Sounds like you weren't even in combat and this person just flipped out.
Yeah, they just drank stuff
you
out of a bag.
The bag juice.
You can't
I mean, like, I hate to bring in like real life precedent, but like, if you did this in real life, if you just poured a bunch of drinks into a cooler and then you drank it, you might get poisoned.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I did that in college.
Yeah.
That little bit of poison would still be poison.
Yeah. We've all slurped the basement juice. Sometimes you don't feel so good afterwards.
Do you guys think that if there was antidote, like an actual antidote poured in there, that it would counteract the poison? This is just,
it's in a huge bag, it would dilute so much that I don't even think you would get
invisibility. I don't think you'd get the effect of anything because you would be drinking such a diluted version.
Let's also point out that 3d20s were rolled. It was random. There's no way this person was targeted. Like, the rolls didn't go their way. And it's just a consequence of sticking your head in the bag and slurping, right?
Just being so mischievous and silly and then being absolutely infuriated in real life when something from, bad happens.
Going from tee-hee-hee, yeah. I slurp it, to I'm being targeted.
Yeah? I'm Wile E. Coyote. I'm going to walk out on the invisible bridge over the chasm. You fall in.
No!
What the fuck?
No!
I demand to eat the Roadrunner.
Okay, so I think we're ruling against this player.
This player.
Easily.
We have to drain the battery of their car. So they
have to drink it.
Yeah, they have to awkwardly come back in and ask for you to call an Uber for them.
Or a jump. You get to decide. You get to decide.
Yeah. That would be a great power move, honestly, is to get into an argument with somebody and be like, call an Uber for me. Call an Uber for me.
Oh my God.
I want you to call an Uber for
my rating sucks, dude.
Call. Fine, dude. I'm calling
I'm
you a
very
pool.
Combative.
I'm calling you a pool.
Don't call me a pool. Call me a at least a regular one.
I need an XL.
Need to be Premier.
I've got three swords with me. I need an XL.
So sordered. Okay, and now shall we step into church? We've got a confession.
Yes, we shall.
Ben D writes, I cast myself humbly before the steps of Dice Christ in the casino he calls a church. I implore you as his servants to help me because I believe I am cursed or going through a Job or Jonah situation.
Oh,
I've never been a lucky roller. I accepted that. Mm. But on the last session of our Curse of Strahd game, something incredible happened. I rolled 8 nat 20s in a row.
You did!
Before you cheer and toss out my confession, please understand
that
these rolls were 4. One initiative roll.
Okay, we already talked about this.
Yeah, we talked about this.
Initiative nat 20 is good.
I feel for you.
It's good,
goddammit.
It's fine. No, no one feels.
It's fine.
Don't feel.
It's absolutely
no,
fine.
No, it's not.
I just feel like
it's good.
It should like the game should turn into basketball for one round if you get a nat 20 on initiative. That's all I'm saying.
If you get a nat 20 on initiive, you should be able to start before other people. You should just be able to start before everyone else.
Okay, that aside.
Everything aside, 8 nat 20s in a row. One initiative roll.
Awesome. Congrats.
And seven dex saves.
Okay.
Dex saves.
That's a lot.
Where the DC was 14. Okay. I was a level 14 monk.
Okay.
8 nat 20s. Okay. 8 completely useless nat 20s, except for the one for initiative we can argue.
Which we can agree is great.
Okay.
Could be better.
I wasted all my luck that I'll ever have in my entire life on 8 rolls that meant nothing. Do you know how many times I hit Strahd? 0. Do you know how many times I hit the man that killed my mentor? 0. I don't think I rolled above a 10 against Strahd. Can you imagine having it all? Can you imagine feeling blessed by the hand of Dice Christ? Only for him to backhand you an hour later. What can I even do? What's the point? Thank you for hearing my plight. XOX.
Okay. Well, your bad rolls, that sucks. That sucks to never, especially, you're doing flurry of blows. That's crazy. They certainly weren't having a 16 round fight in this one, I hope, because that sounds miserable. Not.
Yeah.
I think that I'm just going to give you advice that I've done for my friends. It always helps. Just put your dice out in a full moon. I know that sounds insane. I know that sounds insane, but I feel like I do this for friends all the time, and then those dice roll really well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will also say, you can look on the bright side. Those nat 20s for deck saves, like, that's not a bad thing. You passed them. That's good. And also, as a monk, arguably, that's the worst class to crit in. You don't, each individual roll is not a lot of damage.
It is true.
You know?
Depending on your level, I guess. Like, you know,
when
you're
crit,
only rolling
it's
D6s.
It's going to be like 2D8s or 2D6s.
I think this person is so fair.
You know what? I'll
take
your curse
devastated.
On, or maybe you'll take my curse on. So I'm going to roll, and if I roll bad, I've taken your curse on. If I roll good, unfortunately, I've given you some of my curse.
Oh.
Let's see if I can do it. I'll try to take on,
how's
I'll try
gonna
to
do?
Take on your curse. That's a 2. Shout out to the 2 crew.
No, oh my God.
They are so poetic. I will take on your cursed die.
Wow.
I'm mostly a DM, so that's fine. But if you liked Frankie Fantasmo or Max Son of Mumford, RIP, they're not going to make it with those roles. If I'm missing on every attack.
Mac was already cursed.
Yeah, Mac was cursed already.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm more cursed. Thank you.
Perfect.
I am legit scared now that I got a 2. That's bad stuff, but
making
hopefully you roll
better.
Making
me think that we need some more Hot Boy Summer. Huh?
Yeah. Oh God. Okay. Well, with that, so So forgiven. Yeah. You can hear us. We're going to have some bonus cases over on our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADPOD. Don't sing yet. Don't do it. We got those live shows that we brought up at the beginning of the episode. We're going to be in DC and Boston in January.
Boston Powers.
No.
Boston Powers.
No.
Shit, that's interesting. No. There's something
it's
there.
Actually, there's nothing there.
It's kind of maybe the theme of the show.
There's nothing there. I will not be on the bonus episode, unfortunately.
I'll be playing Goldmember.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'll be playing Penis a Mini.
Great. I'll be playing Austin Powers, because that's the character that I've heard of the most.
That's awesome. I can assure you we'll be funnier than this when you see us live. Nadpod.com/live. Anybody else have anything they'd like to plug?
Austin Powers 133, pretty solid.
I'm gonna plug the fact that I'm thinking about watching Austin Powers now.
Great. You can tweet about the show, follow us on social media there, or may or may not use. At CHMRSME, at Caldy's Caldwell, at Extra Emily.
Which one should I start with? Do you have
and
to
you
start
tweet
with
about
one?
People actually,
you don't have to do
hashtag
order.
Hashtag NADPOD. That's
it's actually better. It's kind of like start with number three. And then you're going to do one.
That gives you crucial information about Dr. Evil and Austin Powers' relationship. And it's going to like feel a little out of order and asynchronous. But like by starting there, you're going to have more of an understanding of the relationship.
Murph, where are you going?
Okay.
Murph, leaving. Murph, come back.
Why are you leaving, dude?
Murph, get in my belly.
I think I'm going to start with three.
Yeah, you should definitely start with three. Dungeon.
It's the end of the show, everyone, and you know what that means? It's time to shout out our benevolent Council of Elders, starting with Brad D., Jeffrey S., Lord of the Fjord, Hugh C., Later McSkater, Matt M., Cutter W., Feared Al, Jeff C., Daniel G., Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Danny P., Vincent W., Victor T., Balnor's Boy, Hoid's Friend, Justin I., Danny Danster, TJM, Trele the Crayfay, Christopher B., Daniel R., Jordan L., Cyborg Version of Josh the Kobold, Stevie Wags, the guy who gave Caldwell a Flintstones graphic novel in Milwaukee, wishing you all a happy Thanksgiving and a Merry Crittermas. Happy Hogladays. Belated, but still happy. Princess Yar, Jory S., Jack L., Nicholas C., star of every film ever made in Bohemia, now back in action after Union victory. Samuel B., Mike H., Elka Schmelzer Plus, Great Value Gemma, Adam G., Tyler F., Nebadger, Panama James, Haradrian, Rex Daniel the White, Diana De Los Lopez, CC Lulu, Hercule Poirot, a rapid folk detective, Reiko, Calder, Comes Cold, hashtag CCC forever, stay frosty, fairy followers, Taylor B., the vengeful one-winged angel, Cass, skateboard, Cass, Steven, Seas, Stevens on the seas, see, Mike K., Lady Taco, and Team Incredulity, Joy T., Nick W., William W., Big Bad Beard of the Mad, Ananorama, Percival Frederickstein von Musel Klosowski de Rolo III, Item, the Simple Dimples, Vincent, Incorrigible Daniels, the Sandrian, Ben A., Dave H., Catherine S., Christian S., A. Cell from the Prison of Elders, Dustin S., Danny F., Hawkeye Pierce, Bookvar's assistant Izzy F., Sean, the Shade Tree Mechanic of Zelbuldar, Summer Rose Grantaire, Cat C., Misa of Hausen Zunza, Ariel, the Occasional Mermaid, Selena N., Velaciraptor, B., Perky, Always, Pat L, Maxwell J, Lauren H, Nolani, the coffee barista brewing fighter, Ryan S, the bone duster, Annie, the Feywild therapist, Skillful Ferret. A fan art request. I am going to ask to see the great battle undersea where whales are wielding swords of old. Connor Savage, Salil, Weed Goku 69, aka Trevor G, Leviathan, Biocourt 7, Amber Dextrous, Sullivan H, Trub Hapdrapper, Jack H, King of the Mole People Under Iron Deep, wearing Murph's Jack Skellington hoodie, Lindsay W, Valen, Carlin C, Emily S, Noah the Bullywug Boy, hashtag release the filthy guppy cut, James G, Everything Bago the Eladrin who just wants to hang out with his pet badger Stripey, Daddy Master Dandy, Han the Green Teen, Eric B, Marcos, Learns the Balance Druid, Dakota James P, Frida M, Pagos, the self-proclaimed Fae King, back on their regularly programmed Fae shenaniganeries, Tracy P, the Crick Elf Librarian, Maggie S, Holly H, Leah, Hunter H, Pixel Stars, Akash the Car, Andrew, Crick Planeswalker stuck in Crick's New World, Doofenus, Russell H, a monk named Dilgo, yes, the whole thing, yes, every time, Cody C, Keychain, Pentium 2 Processor, Lorelei the Succubus, and Kyra, her bestie queen. There was maybe something about we're not saying pronouncing Kyra correctly, so please, in the comments, let me know. Kyra, her bestie queen. Kyra, her bestie queen. I love both. Matt M., your friendly neighborhood Yonton Yonkel Andrew and Sid. John Adams, yes, like the president. Meg, the mail carrier of Bohemia. James F., Jimmy A., M4L., Austin S., Wayfarer, upon returning to their fae flower shop, found it completely overrun with trolls. What will they do now? Shane C., Barpo, Good Barrel, Barbarian, Garrett G., One Big Curd, Mr. D., Dana the Daisy, Ethan B., Havy the Half-Orc, Renee the Monster Captain, Box Clifton, Olivia, the enchanting bard who is working hard on her audition to be the lead singer of Mounting Crows, Winter Slade, Riley S., Fico, Angry Wheat, Garrett, the Artificer, Anthony, the Raddest of Dudes, Josh H., Caleb L., Fairy Followers are celebrating, hashtag CCC, I love Sunny, hashtag Gut the Fish, hashtag PTFC. Cantrip Dumbledore, the bear onesie wearing barbarian. Lexi H. MJ, the BFG, drinking tea by the sea. The whale guy from Court Lawyerdale. Artavius Crass. Gino T. Mama Bell, the silver serpent herself. Knet Spell, the wizard. Derek D., Tristan the Talentless Hunk, Leon K., the legendary hero of Bohemia from a future campaign, BTA Workshop, Shenanigans O'Connor, Mios the Great, Alex K., Joshua S., Alexander, Linz W., Angel La Pamela, the Forever Vindicated, yes, we did vindicate you, Emma S., Red, the Reforged Warforged, executive producer Dick Wolf, creator of the upcoming series Law & Order Bohemia, starring the lead bullywug actor David Hasselhoff. A cat napping in a sunbeam listening to a podcast. Oh, Hunter W., Hard Ones, Hot Hump Gunk. The whiplash of going from that sweet cat to Hump Gunk. Shelby, Kenna's second favorite Sprite Girl. She's exiting 2023, finally cancer-free. Congratulations, congratulations. That is fucking amazing. Jackson R., T3RHX, official Ned Flanders, Troy D. Blaze, future King of the Pirates, Blake H., searching for a sweet blue hole with his bestie Big Bev, Pawpaw Sky Days, Meemaw Sky Days, oh, it's V., Tommy W., Mike and Lisa sending love to all y'all, Haley the Human, Megan N., the Big him. Balnor's best friend, Steve. I believe it. I do believe it. Stephanie of House Inzunza. Jake's ramen shop. R.I.P. Melchior, the brave Leonin warrior who even cares about the rest of the party. Karjish, Benjamin A. Sacrificial otaku pen name for Callie's cousin who discovered anime and is trying to spread it all over Bohemia. Jiggy M. Mikkel A. Angie A. Josh H. Five yak zords that combine into one much larger yak zord. Floki, the two crew blew through. Maple, the shy bookworm, so cute. Ashley, Seth E. Billy Bastin, Tori, the blind bisexual dragoose. Sock Monkey Bob, Edelweiss, the charismatic arcane trickster jackal, fucking watch, has been hotel on the 19th, okay. Michael Lyle S. the second, Cobbers Bobbers, the Coblin Bobbin Goblin. Oh, I love this one now. Nova Cry, Hilda Thunderheart, the human barbarian, Parcel, Dex R, and finally, Hannah A. Thank you. We love you all so much. We couldn't do this without you. And here's to a sexy 2024. Goodbye, sweeties.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.